Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Hello, my name is Tommy Dasilo. How you doing? Thanks for listening. And sitting with me, as always...
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night, video games. My name... Well, it's Ben Vernell. It's great to be here with you, Tommy. Here in the luxurious surrounds of Vernell Studios. Well, who's that over there on the couch?
Somebody stop me, video games. I'm doing another Jim Carrey movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, good evening, and good night is the Truman Show.
Truman Show. Yeah. We could do a really serious episode of this where you go good night and good luck video games.
Oh, I'd love that. Mm. Yeah.
Good night, sweetheart video games. And for half of it, we talk to our current day wife about video games. Then for the other half, we talk to our World War II wife.
Yes.
I have no idea what this reference is, but I am prepared to put my faith in it being very, very good.
I believe that's what that show was. It was called Goodnight Sweetheart.
Yes.
And it was the guy from Only Fools and Horses.
Mm-hmm. Like
the
Jonathan
one who wasn't
something.
Del Boy.
Yeah.
How do you know about this? This sounds like something that was on in the 60s.
Have a guess how I know about this television show, Tommy.
I've never heard of it being on TV.
It was on ABC for ages.
Unfortunately, really? I have to side with Knox on this one.
How dare you? I will not be forgetting this.
It was like that and Keeping Up Appearances back to back or something.
And then that other one with that old guy and the other old woman, maybe Judi Dench. They were often, whatever.
It was called marriage is a chore or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Those two often back to back.
Yeah.
Ass to ass.
With Elizabeth, Margaret Boot Bucket. What was her name?
Charlie Hyacinth, Bucket from
Hyacinth.
Hyacinth.
Yeah.
Oslo.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was like this guy found a portal to World War II.
Like in the back of a pub or something?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And I think he went back and forth between the modern day and World War II days.
Yes.
But then just sort of had a pretty normal life in each.
Totally, yes. Yeah.
Like it wasn't, like there were maybe a couple of episodes where it's like, oh no, get in the bunker.
Yeah.
But so is that why he's going back and forth? Because he's like, surely at a certain point something has got to stick out about one of these.
Well, I think
and then I'll just decide to stay in that one.
Sort of.
Something remarkable has to happen eventually.
Yeah. Time's still passed in each.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I think. And so he went back in time. And I think he ended up with a wife in each.
In each?
Or a girlfriend in each. Or
I maybe think maybe he had like
wife was in World War II.
An unhappy girlfriend in the present day and, was falling in love with this woman in the past.
Is that cheating?
Good night, sweetheart. Yes.
Yes. I think that was part of the hook, yes.
Because like, if you told someone like, I cheated on you, but it was a year ago, they'd still be mad. And if you said, I cheated on you, but it was 80 years ago, they'd still be mad.
But you're in the past.
And
But
it's happening now for him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was part
it's
of the
still,
hook. Yeah.
He's in the past. Hmm. I don't know, man.
But if you cheat and it's like, as long as no one finds out about it today, then it's fine.
Mm. Right. That's an yes.
Yeah, that is an interesting quandary.
Mm. It's not. It's easy to fix. You just don't do it.
I'm making it sound like I'm someone who's absolutely down to cheat on people, which I've never done in my life.
Mm,
that's
neither.
Yeah. Mm. But so that's why this setup is interesting to me because I am buying into it and it's allowing me to think about, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's allowing me to let myself off the hook for a thing that I've never done in the real world as it is.
Yeah.
So why am I so enticed by it?
Because this isn't a fantasy VR world or whatever where none of your actions have consequences.
Mm. Mm.
This is the old days.
So what about
the real world?
Yeah.
You go into that portal
and
it's not so you go back into a portal that's, say, for 10 years ago.
Okay.
But when you go in it, you're 10 years younger. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm me in 2009.
Yeah.
I'm 19.
And then when you go back through it, you're you now. Now, is that cheating? If you're going back to being, what would you, 18?
19. 18, 19. 19. Yeah. Or 1920.
Yeah. Going back to have, I assume, the no sex that you had back then.
But I wanting think
I had,
to.
Listen, I was rooting up a storm.
Wow.
I was pulling out roots of tree. I can't think of any type of tree that has roots. All of them.
Literally any tree.
A tree.
Oak, but I couldn't rip up an oak tree's roots. That's what I mean by rooting.
Okay.
Pulling up root.
Sure. That would be, imagine that. So you find the portal and you're like, finally, I can use this as an excuse to cheat. But you go back and you're 18 and you just can't make it happen to yourself.
I would do the sports almanac thing.
Oh, sure.
100%.
Yeah, you'd cheat at other things.
First,
sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
First thing you do if you go back in time, gamble, but correct gambling.
I've thought of a good question. If you...
What's for dinner?
Shut up, everyone.
If you went back in time and to your 18-year-old self, so you're in high school, would you do better on your exams with your current brain than you did then?
I would do worse because I wouldn't care about the consequences from them.
But if it was
I wouldn't go to them.
You wouldn't go?
No, because I would know so much about what happens next that I wouldn't need a job because I would sports almanac my way into money.
Oh, okay.
Is your question, would we want to do better?
I wouldn't be able to remember what year Maccabi Diva won and I would fuck it up again and again.
Yeah, I think
Is your question, would we try harder or do we think that now with our adult brains we would just naturally do better?
I think that, yeah.
I've easily gotten dumber since I was in year 12.
Yeah.
From not being in an environment where I'm being forced to learn stuff every day.
Okay.
This is the dumbest I've ever been.
I would be worse at maths. I would be worse at maths and I think better at everything else.
Really?
I think so.
But you would have to... No.
You're right. I'd be more disciplined. I would get the assignments done because I would find them... You know, now I'm like, being dumb sucks. I wish I knew more stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas at the time I was like, I don't care. This is a burden. Way.
I'd invent the dab... I'd fucking, like...
You coast off that for the rest of your life.
I'd do that Beatles movie, except, like, modern day songs, so it'd have to be, like, Gangnam Style and shit. I would write myself. They'd be like, why is this guy singing in Korean wrong? Because I'd only be able to remember, oppa, Gangnam Style.
Yeah.
Ochi, a man. I'd just make up the rest.
Which one would you invent? PUBG, Fortnite, or Apex Legends?
Well, nobody ever invented Fortnite. They copied it.
Okay.
So I would just do that, but with PUBG, I guess. No.
So you do, yeah, but that's what I mean. You just go straight to Fortnite and then go, bang, here's the first one.
No, because you wouldn't be able to have Apex Legends without the groundwork of PUBG and Fortnite.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't really care at all. I'm just very conscious of the fact that we now have an avenue for not talking about video games. I'm just... wildly trying to get this conversation onto some kind of topic.
Dab is a video game adjacent term.
That's true. Also, so is time travel.
If you invented flossing, all that would happen is a video game company would steal it from you and you would never actually get any money.
But then you get to sue them.
Then you get to sue them.
I think they actually this week threw that out.
Oh, really?
Because at the Carlton Dance, they were like, well, you don't even actually own this. Like,
that's from a TV show.
NBC owns this.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever.
And they're not suing us.
No. Hmm. And then flossing, I think they just couldn't prove that anyone could. It was like something about, can you even invent a dance?
Right.
Or are they so socially generated that no one can really be said to have instigated the original version of a dance?
Right.
Because every one of them is built on the work of previous ones.
Okay.
That would be amazing to see that reality where you go, I'm going to invent the dab. But then you realize, how much of it taking off is time specific and about what was going on in that moment.
Sure.
It's just you as some asshole just getting on the TV somehow and going, check it out, everyone. I've invented a new dance. And it just people hate you.
Yeah. Like, if I went back to 2008 and I'm walking around like, damn, Daniel. Like, what are you doing?
Your new dance move bombs.
But I'd do the Beatles movie thing as well that's coming out of writing all the songs that existed future. I would steal everything. What I'm saying is if I could get away with it, I would steal.
Interesting. Right. And I'm saying if I could get away with it, I would cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, what would you do? How would you take advantage of
murder? Imagine you just started killing people like, this was still illegal.
Yeah. You guys need an excuse for these things?
Tell you what else I'd do.
Yeah. Mm.
I'd look forward for a very long time to playing Sekiro 10 years later.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about that first?
Well, should we do news?
There is some news.
There is a lot of news.
There's some news that people will notice we're very much not covering too.
Yes.
Which, because of scheduling conflicts, this is being recorded in May 2009.
Yeah.
So we don't know what happens with... By the time this is out, that'll be in the PlayStation...
State of Play. They've called it, yeah.
So this is... And they're going to... They're going to start doing these pretty regularly.
That's what
they
were
saying.
It seemed to get
email,
from it.
So at this point, what we have about it is an email, I believe.
Yeah, we got a press release. It's been reported on though as
but
well.
But so in that email is just that.
We're doing this on Monday night, a few hours after that sort of
and
went
so
around.
It's happening Tuesday morning, Australia time.
Yeah.
So it will have been about for a couple of days by now. But I think it was just saying that there will be two episodes of it.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't think it was more. I'm gonna look it up so I'm at
but
least
But there's not much indication
what
of what we can really expect from
so,
it.
So I'll read you the email.
Please do.
Okay.
This message has been modified to fit your screen. Tap here to show original.
Okay.
State of Play, March 26, 2019, live broadcast, 8 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, which is...
It's 8 a.m.
About 12 hours in the future for us.
Yeah.
But... is about 36 hours, several hours in the past.
Yes. Now, when you're listening to this, I will have travelled back in time and cheated on my girlfriend with a woman from the 40s.
I will have travelled back in time and fucked myself in the ass. What do you think of that, boys?
But you're still... Yeah, okay.
Perfectly legal.
I will have travelled forward in time and fucked my girlfriend, but when she's in her 40s.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I will state for the record, I don't have a girlfriend. Knox does, though.
Yes. Mm. And I'm going to fuck your one when you get one.
Tommy can fuck himself in whenever he likes.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
You're welcome to go fuck yourself is what I'm saying.
That really means a lot.
Hey, you're welcome.
So this is from PlayStation.
Yep.
Good afternoon. Exciting news to share. Okay. This is what I imagine Sony's voice is like.
Mm-hmm.
The debut of PlayStation's brand new video showcase, State of Play, is taking place tomorrow at Tuesday, 26th of March at 8 a.m. AEDT. State of Play will share updates and announcements from the world of PlayStation. So, the first episode will showcase upcoming PS4 and PSVR software, including new trailers, new game announcements, and new gameplay footage.
Okay.
So, we're definitely missing out on something.
Something, yeah.
This is definitely extremely disappointing to all of our loyal listeners.
Yes.
Reading a press release from the past.
They're going, what could it be?
fuck.
Okay, I
don't know. I think that by now our listeners probably should just enjoy us reading a press release.
Yeah. I can give
what
you Sony's.
Expect from us?
Be thankful for what you get.
Yeah,
I can give you the phone number of the account coordinator.
Yeah, do that. Let's try and call her and get a scoop live on air and go, look, this won't be going out until Thursday anyway.
That's a good idea.
It's not cheating because technically this is in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. I hope she calls us at some point.
Okay, hang on. I've got her on the line here.
I'll pick up. Hello.
Oh, fuck. He's snooking me.
Yes, hello.
Oh, she's back on the line.
I'm calling you for some reason, Adam.
All right, Mrs. Doubtfire from Sony.
Ah, damn, he's seen through my ruse.
So, you're not getting the kids, you creep.
I guess I don't know where I got the two episodes thing from.
They just said there's going to be one. They call it episode one.
Yeah, and I think I just took it to mean, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
I think that there's just something where they're trying to get across that these will be regular things.
I think so,
This is their new way of doing stuff since they're not at E3 and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
this isn't one big one that's just...
The State of Play is the Nintendo Direct for Sony.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. So this is... So I found it interesting that it says upcoming PS4 and PSVR software.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that they're making... A sort of bracket around, hey, PS4, not PlayStation games.
Yes.
Not games, Sony, you know, exclusives or whatever.
Yep.
PS4.
Yes. So, I agree. It's
meaning what do you
PS5
mean?
PS5 is coming soon.
Exactly. Meaning that at some point they need to make a distinction between the PS4 and another platform.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, it'll probably be, I mean, the new games, my guess would be that it's nothing massive.
Mm.
I mean, I feel like that's... them saying that is them making an important distinction of don't get ahead of yourselves.
Right. Yeah.
This isn't us announcing the PSVR, the PS5.
Which is exactly what you would do if you were going to announce the PS5, honestly.
But Nintendo do that a lot with the Direct. They're like, we're going to focus mostly on this game.
Yes.
Like, because they, you know, you got to manage expectations of this kind of stuff.
Yep.
Boy, oh boy, do I hope they've announced the PS5.
God.
And I'm here on record looking like a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
If that happens, we'll have to do something.
You're right.
I think
we physically can't, but yeah.
I think we're better to not.
Yeah.
I just want to sit in this for as long as I can. I'm going to say there will never be a PlayStation 5. Yep, I'm calling it, boys.
I mean,
if they
come out and say this is the PlayStation from now on, it's
okay.
You could be right.
If I am, you both have to travel back in time and fuck me in the ass.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I don't think time travel's real, but I accept.
Yeah.
What else do I think they'll announce? Last of Us 2 cancelled.
Oh.
We're just not bringing it out.
Okay.
Can't be fucked. It's off. It's off the agenda.
It looked a little too realistic and we actually were freaked out by it, so we're getting rid of it. It was kind of grossing us out.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to announce the PlayStation time travel machine.
Okay.
And this, what we're doing now, is an ironic bit.
Yeah.
We know what's happened.
We're the test subjects.
Yes. Yeah. This is like when we did the 2002 Game of the Year. We know that this is a joke.
Yeah, we're recording this in 2100.
Yes.
And 4.
Wow. Because
we can live forever now.
Mm. That's part of the thing.
The Xbox Life Extender that happened. I don't think any of this. This is stupid. We're being ridiculous here.
Okay.
I have seen a lot of people
silly sketch.
I've seen a lot of people say that they think Horizon Zero Dawn 2...
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Or something.
Didn't
from...
Guerrilla say at some point we are working on something that isn't Horizon Zero Dawn 2?
Okay, maybe that's what I've seen people say, that they think almost definitely
right,
that it'll be
next thing.
Yeah, their next thing.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I saw them at some point saying, like, we're working on another game, obviously, but it isn't a Horizon Zero Dawn sequel.
Yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it is a big new game, maybe a Crash Bandicoot or a Spyro, like full on new.
Yeah.
Here's a actual sequel.
Mm-hmm. That would make sense, especially with Crash, because they're doing re-releasing the Crash Team Racing.
Yeah, like you get the fucking people who make Knack or whatever.
Yeah,
to make
right.
Crash Bandicoot 4, even though there have been one since 3, but you just call it 4.
Yeah.
What else could happen? There'll probably be footage of like the very soon upcoming ones, like Days Gone.
Oh,
yeah, there'll be a bit of a deep dive on that kind of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Guys, write in and let us know what you think you're going to be seeing on this State of Play presentation 4 days ago.
Yeah, true. I forgot.
Get on the Facebook page and let us know what you thought was going to be in the video.
There you go. Mm. Admit that you were wrong like us.
And admit, be brave about it. Don't go, I actually predicted all of this and I have the biggest penis of anyone in this group.
Yes.
That might be true.
Also,
that
don't send us fake predictions that are jokes, okay?
We're not doing that.
Leave the jokes to us.
None of you could come up with PlayStation time travel.
I'm glad you agree.
Yeah, cool. But that will have happened. We don't know what it is. But there are some announcements that happened that we do know about, or at least some of. Persona 5 The Royal had some kind of trailer that was didn't really show what it was.
It was almost like a trailer for an announcement that will come that will tell us what's actually happening.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a new female character's voice speaking, saying how she thinks the Phantom Thieves are reckless.
Yes. Yeah. Not a fan of the Phantom Thieves.
No. Which I don't know if... So I haven't played any of the others still, really.
Yes.
And I know that 4, when it did the Golden, which was like the updated version, added characters and just was basically the same game again with extra content.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I hope it's not that.
Right.
I don't want to play through the whole game again. Mm. I would love for there to be some way to download this new thing as DLC or whatever.
I
have it be an add-on.
Would like to play the whole game again, and I was planning on doing that. I downloaded it again. So if this is like, just chuck this on, chuck another 20 gig on, and it's play it again with a bunch of new shit, I would love that. I'm into that.
The things that have been done with the others are like a new gender-swapped main character,
right,
which changes how the social things go.
Sure, right. Of course.
So it will be, it's something along those lines. It is an updated
version.
That
would be weird to release it strictly as a whole new disc, game download or whatever.
That's what they've done
when
for
it
the
is
others.
Essentially DLC.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might just do that for the PS4 version, but it might be that it's on a different platform, I guess.
Right.
Because there was stuff about it being on the Switch
right
at some point. With 3, they did do a new disc, but it was on the PS2 and it was like called Fez, I want to say, which maybe stood for something, FES. And that was a new extra chapter after the game
that
you could just go straight to if you wanted.
And that's what you would prefer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because, like, just I don't know how many hundreds of hours I have left.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
This is time for me to announce I'm quitting video games.
Oh, my God. I foresee you quitting everything but video games, if I'm honest.
That is much more likely.
And that's my dream as well.
Oh, my God. But whatever it is, it's along those lines. It's Persona 5 with some new stuff, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Which is cool. That game's great. If you've not played it, hold off, I guess.
Yep.
Because this will probably be the version to play, whether or not you're begrudgingly doing it again. I love that game, and I would play it again.
It's just the time.
It's daunting, the idea of it, for sure. Yeah. And like, just to have some things change up a bit. I don't generally like doing that anyway.
I'm not a New Game Plus guy.
No.
Never have been. Never will
What's the strategy behind releasing it like that? Just kind of get anyone who didn't get it the first time around? Is it like a new thing in shops?
A lot of people double dip. A lot of people do double dip.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like how they used to do it with like Game of the Year editions or Platinum editions of like, hey, remember this game that everyone has been saying is great?
Yeah.
Well, you can buy it now.
Now it's up the top of the shelves instead of like hard to track down.
Mm.
And Persona 5, when I went to buy it, was really hard to find.
You
couldn't get it anywhere. I had to get it online.
Yes.
Like nowhere had it in.
Yeah. So that's cool though.
Yeah.
Whatever that ends up being, whatever version that form that takes.
Whatever that is, it's cool.
Literally, I would say, Persona 5, anything they do with that, I will say is cool.
Yeah, that's fair. That is pretty fair.
All right.
But that's
it might not be enjoyable, but it'll definitely look cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll be cool.
Yes. Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 as well.
Yeah.
Awful name still. But
could use a few more subtitles, if you ask me.
Chuck a semicolon in and really mix it up.
It needs a few more generic fucking gothic fantasy words in it. But Vampire the Masquerade is like an old tabletop RPG.
Yes.
So that's why it's called that. Anyway.
And Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines is an old RPG.
Yeah.
And it was great.
It was so fucking good. So if anyone hasn't played the first one, which I would assume is many people.
Probably.
It was the first game I played using that Source engine that Half-Life 2 used, which excited me about it for some reason. But it's basically, it's in the style of like Deus Ex and stuff like that, where it's like a first-person RPG with lots of different, you can affect the story and the world in these crazy ways. And it's all very...
like factions and... it is, Deus Ex is a great comparison because I never got hugely into that game, but yeah, that's what it is. It's like, oh, well, you can go to this mansion and in the mansion, maybe there's a room with a dead body in it or there's a room with like a note or there's like a guy at the top you have to get to somehow and maybe the dead body has something on it or the note gives you a password to get into this section of a club. Like,
I'm pretty like it has a pretty linear sort of this will happen, then this area, but when you go through them, you can do whatever.
Yeah.
Change the story up by doing crazy things. It's a really fun type of, it feels very like it's a good mix between the thing you were saying online, Thomas, about,
is this for public consumption?
The not liking things to be, procedurally generated or anything to make them sort of change up. This is a really good way of having things be built and be like crafted and everything, but then feel like you have ownership and like you're really affecting stuff because the impact that you have just basically takes you down a bunch of branches.
Right.
Yeah. Right. The feeling of like the great feeling that video games can give you of feeling like you're this character in this actual world, this living, breathing world that you have a impact on and an effect on without that being because it's literally randomly generated.
great type of game that doesn't come up often because they seem fucking hard to make.
Yes.
Like Dishonored was sort of that, but I don't think any of them have really been as good as like the original Deus Ex, maybe System Shock 2 and Vampyre.
Yeah.
Which was a really well written, fucking great like tone and character and humor through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So when you played through as the different types of, you can be a different types of vampires going through. So like, it's basically like, do you want to be a Buffy vampire?
Okay.
Or like Blade? Or do you want to be Nosferatu? Or there was one called a Malkavian, which is basically you're insane. And
yeah.
You can see through the world. And like your dialogue options would half the time be like, you're just in a video game, but smarter than that.
Right.
And that was really cool as well to like go through it a second time as that thing. Same as then like playing through things a second time. But like that is a cool way of doing it. Like you would be walking down the street and get into an argument with a stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
Like they made so much extra stuff
for
that specific thing. It was really, it's such a good game.
Yeah.
It was super buggy and like it's been fixed up by like fan patches and stuff.
Oh, I think.
But it's like a beloved thing and a sequel to it, I didn't think seemed likely.
No.
It kind of came out of nowhere, this announcement, right?
A little bit, yeah. Like a few years ago, the license to it got bought by, I guess, whatever company's making this, I actually don't know. But so they came out and said, like, this person from the original's back, the writer, the composer, all of this team is, like, back to make this second one. We've got resources behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited.
Yeah.
That and Cyberpunk, I guess, are, like, my two. I'm super glad these are being made.
Yes.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Any idea when it's out?
I don't think they said. Oh, no. Wait, yes, they did. Quarter one of 2020.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, like it's pretty far
along.
So
a year away.
So the trailer was just like a CGI thing.
Yeah, genius.
Someone can travel in time.
And only just. It's almost
it's
like,
not quite. You're right there. It's not quite. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was like just sort of, it said right down the bottom, like, this is not gameplay footage. Like guy chasing people through the street and blood coming out of taps and like, you're a vampire.
Oh,
love a bit of that. Love seeing that little disclaimer up in the top right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This isn't the actual game. This looks really good, but this isn't the actual game.
It's not actually.
This thing with real people in it isn't actually gameplay.
You won't be doing anything like this.
Hey,
this is what it'll feel like, ideally, but you won't be doing this.
We're tricking you. You fell for it, idiot. We even wrote it here and you still are disappointed when it doesn't look like this.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Everyone is still always disappointed.
So
no one reads a disclaimer.
It takes place in Seattle in 2020, which is next year.
That's when it comes out.
Yeah.
Oh my god!
Whoa! It's like the opposite, today's headlines.
It's the opposite of Goodnight, Sweetheart.
And yeah, it's some fucking vampire shit.
Goodnight, sweet blood.
They're talking about it. They're out there like explaining.
I'm writing for the game, by the way.
Yeah.
It's gonna be bad.
Pretty detailed stuff about it. So that's fucking sick.
Yeah, that's exciting.
What do you think is the best vampire?
Well,
in popular
like,
culture.
As in type of vampire or like
character.
The Count from Sesame Street.
He's up there.
Duckula. Count Duckula.
I actually fucking hate the Count. I always hated all of the counting ones on Sesame Street because they fucking talk the way down to you. They
once
only
you,
ever get
yeah,
up to like 12.
Once you get it, you're like, this is infuriating.
Yeah.
Like what? If you can't count to 7... but can understand Sesame Street,
right.
Then ain't no fucking Muppet going to be able to help you to learn.
That's a good point.
You're the real Muppet.
Yeah. Get out of here, Muppet. Whoa. And then he walks away with the hands all up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I always
hated Count Duckula.
Really?
Yeah, not into it.
I loved Count Duckula. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, never got into it. That and Danger Mouse, were they made by the same people?
Oh,
they look very similar.
Very similar style, yeah.
Those, there was like that and like Banana Man and
These
Super
are all
Ted.
My faves.
There was just something about them I didn't vibe with.
I loved all of those that you named.
I think I knew as a young child, I'm like, this isn't weeby enough for me to be into.
Yeah, this is too British.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
My favorite vampire, Dracula, let me finish, as played by Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, yes, very good.
Yeah,
very good. Rest in peace.
Couple of other things about it. They've said the game is definitely taking political stances on what we think are right and wrong.
Wow.
Very odd thing to have out there.
Is that real?
After you've announced it.
Is that actually real?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
What a weird thing to say.
That is bizarre.
Well, they were like in an interview and I think someone asked them about like,
oh, okay.
The first game had like this stuff in it, whatever it was.
Okay.
So
that's weird.
That is weird to be like, yes, we think the things that we're putting in the game.
Mm.
Like if you're playing a game and there's a sign that says, you know, trans lives matter. Mm. You're not playing it going, yeah, but they don't really mean that.
Yeah.
These developers are just having a bit of a muck around.
That's wild.
So
what could they have been putting in the game? Like,
Ben, you've only got to wait one calendar year to find out.
How'd you work that out?
Not a calendar. Would you call that a calendar? You're waiting a year.
Just a year, 12 months.
Just a year.
Yeah.
But wait 12 months. I'll meet you back here.
Okay.
Race around the world and I'll meet you back at your house.
I just read a little bit of a thing. I can give you a little bit more context to that quote.
Please do.
hold on. They're talking about the setting. It's like modern day Seattle.
Yes.
There's a lot of conflict in Seattle that is a microcosm of a lot of conflict that's going on all over the place. So, I mean, just the fact that it's set in America in a real world, I think is making them go like, it is a political game, but I think it's one of those few opportunities that gives us a chance to let people make their own political statement in a way that's not cheap. I don't believe you can look at both sides of a political argument without understanding both sides. It's easy to say this is good and this is bad, but it's definitely taking some political stances on what we think are right and wrong. In terms of the main conflict, what is interesting is it's one of those truly balanced issues. So it's from the context of you are, same as the first game, dropped into this conflict and you can make your choices about who you side with.
Right.
But if you put that in a real world context, I guess that is what they're talking about.
Okay. Yeah, 2020. Political correctness has finally gone completely mad.
Oh.
You can't bite anything anymore.
That would be so sick if that's what they mean by that.
Fuck.
Immersive sim. That's
vampires are cancelled.
Nox, I mean, imagine like using vampires to make a social point in a work of art that you've produced.
Come to see Chimp Cop.
Please come to see Chimp Cop.
hang around for the final sketch.
Yeah.
In which I get my dick out of a vampire costume.
And it's very clearly not correct and we don't agree with
that. No, I come in a plant. From the audience.
This all sounds like great stuff.
An audience.
Oh, God.
No, none of that happens. Nothing happens in the show.
Yeah.
Nothing happens?
No, we just sit there for
now. Yeah, nothing happens in the show.
Right.
So, that's fucking sick that game's coming out, though.
I drink blood. Come and see my comedy festival show.
Please do it. I'm more interested in that game now that you read that weird, interesting statement.
Yeah, I think, the first game I remember being pretty, punk rock.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
It wasn't lame. Like, it didn't treat that stuff in the way that so much vampire fiction and TV and media does. Of like, they get that you could make a point with it, but they're fucking it up, which is not what Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines did.
No, it was just like...
they fucked up the title.
Yeah.
From memory, it's been about 15 years since I've played that game, but it was like... You know, vampires who are now the CEO of these big companies and they're like, yeah, I bite a lot of people and I'm doing this so I can harvest blood, but whatever, what's the difference between this and a normal company?
Yeah.
But done in a way where you were like, this is cool.
Yeah, it is interesting to hear you describe it and then go, it was good.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like the sort of thing where if you just got presented that now and played it, you would think it was lame as hell.
Yeah. It was also funny, genuinely funny. Like, the writing was great in it. So, like,
but you were 15 years younger.
Yeah, but I think I could have passed my exams more easily back then, so I was smarter.
That's okay. True.
Good point.
That's fair.
Good point.
So, yeah, that's...
I am interested to see how much of this translates to... Yeah, to...
I think
I'm
you interested mean to say to how much of it Transylvania relates.
Yep.
Genuinely funny writing.
There's more big news this week, boys. Breaking news from 30 minutes ago.
Ben and Adam make best joke ever at same time.
The Wall Street Journal is reporting on the fact that Nintendo are releasing two new models of the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah. They just put up a thing, right before we started recording.
Yeah.
That they have a source who says that this is going to be announced at E3.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is a more souped up and advanced Switch.
Yes.
For the avid gamers.
Yes, the gamer edition.
Yeah. And then one of them is a scaled back more casual model, which they see as replacing the 3DS.
Yeah.
So I've got a few highlights of the article here if we want to go through those.
I'd love to.
I only read the Wall Street Journal for the articles.
So with these new versions of the Nintendo Switch, Nintendo is taking a political stance on what they think is right and wrong.
Oh, okay.
The Switch Cuck Edition.
So the original Switch.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute.
Yes. We've got two new Game Boys, the Soy Boy and the Proud Boy.
Oh, no.
So there are two versions. This is what the article says. There's two versions. They'll both be coming out this year. They'll be revealed at E3, likely coming at the end of the year. One version will have enhanced features targeted at avid players, but not like a PS4 Pro or Xbox One, just like a Switch Pro.
Yeah.
So probably around an Xbox One-ish, original type of thing. People who have used the devices say that they aren't just similar looking new versions with higher or lower performance. So they're two new things.
Properly new,
Yeah.
Cheaper model with vibrations and all of that sort of controller stuff removed to cut costs. So we speculated that.
Yeah.
Single 2DS style molded version with that sort of stuff taken out.
Mm. And honestly, like, I didn't think they'd do it, but my thing was like, I want them to make a proper like home console gamer version, which is
I would go in on a souped up one for sure. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like this is more handheld focused, more console focused splinters of the two, which is so weird.
It is strange.
It is a huge risk too.
Like, to hit big on this idea and then go, oh, actually, let's go back to what we were doing almost.
Did we say this last week or the week before where we were talking about this, this kind of speculation?
I think it was last week. It was within the past 2 weeks,
And I was kind of saying, like, I can see the sense in doing it, and it probably is true, but I also would kind of hope not, because what they did with the 3DS, where they just had 8 different versions of it out, and it is so confusing, which I guess doesn't matter because that console still sold so well, but I don't know how you're going to get around certain games like... So, for example, Super Mario Party, you can only play with Joy-Con detached because there's so much movement stuff in there. So then if you've got this one where the Joy-Con are molded on and it's handheld only, you're all of a sudden going to be putting stickers on those boxes going, you can't play this on one of the models that's now out.
Yeah.
It just seems like...
Maybe this is crazy, but... but what if the handheld one,
God,
if it was... like a much cheaper handheld focused one was digital only.
Yeah.
Then you could restrict what games people could play on there by not having them available to you on the store. So no one could buy a cartridge of a non-compatible game and complain about it.
I don't think that's the... I mean, part of the issue is that people going like, my grandma got me this, but I can't play any of the games she bought me or whatever.
Maybe that the gyro stuff is still in it. Like but vibration you literally did use in Mario Party.
I think the issue more is just like... people being annoyed that you can't play games. I don't think it's the confusion. I think it would be like, I can only afford the handheld one, but I really want to play Breath of the Wild 2 and I can't, or some, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it'd be something like it's called something different enough. So it's like the souped up one is the Switch Plus. So it can play old Switch games, and plus now there'll be some souped up ones that you'll need it to play. But then the downscaled one is just called the Switch, I don't know, R or whatever it is, whatever weird thing they'll put on the end.
What does R stand for?
I don't know, really low powered machine.
Okay,
But where then...
restricted.
But where they'll then bring out some stuff... so it'll launch, it'll have different like software. So it'll launch with, Mario Brothers U Deluxe, that can run on it. You know what I mean? So it's a downscaled console, but they just then, the packaging looks different for the games. Every now and then there'll be stuff that kind of comes out for both.
Yeah.
But then maybe they'll just shuffle some things just onto that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But it is weird to feel like they need to do that and split the market when the actual... regular thing is selling really well.
Yeah.
It's not like it's kind of tanked and they're like, fuck, all right, we got to split the difference and kind of get one that's cheaper and easier for people to get their hands on.
Completely. I think the Wild thing is a great song. I think that the... I think
boys, for all being out of our minds with stress and exhaustion, we are doing some good work this week. Hats off to us.
I genuinely am like, why not just release the more powerful one and continue with the existing one?
Yeah. So then that one becomes already, the cheap one.
I'm reading further through. Like, this news is breaking as we are recording.
Really?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So
what a time capsule this is.
Yeah.
There's some stuff saying that to make the comparison of a PS4 Pro is to a PS4. That comparison doesn't apply to what this new better version is to the original Switch.
So it's more like the new better version is just the original Switch.
I think the differences might be the screen is better.
Right.
Because you know how the Switch does 900p or whatever, or 1080p even, on a regular TV, but the screen maxes out at 720.
Yeah.
Could be that it's a regular Switch with a 1080p.
A what?
A regular Switch with a 1080p screen.
So, right, the way to think about it is it's not Switch Pro and shitty Switch. It's the Switch is coming out again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also a cheaper version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This seems like a, in the way that like often an iPhone upgrade is like the screen is better, but it's the same chip.
Right.
That could be what the new.
Which that makes sense because that sort of technology that they're dealing in with it being handheld and everything, that stuff advances so quickly.
Yeah. Mm.
So it would be crazy to just leave that there for five years before you do anything. I've thought for like since rumors about that have been going around like. Not long after it first came out. Mm. It's like, well, yeah, why wouldn't they? Like, just now this is what we'll phase out that old model.
Yeah.
And just the ones that you buy now, it's still called the Switch, but it's got a better screen.
It is what Apple does with the iPhones then.
Yeah.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
Keep releasing new versions of the normal phone, quote unquote, and then chuck in a few cheap ones for...
Yeah.
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 With the other version...
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think what would maybe make more sense than releasing the 2DS style, here's the cheap version sort of thing for kids with everything removed. Maybe there's like a Switch TV coming and it's just a small box that only plugs into a TV.
Right.
That would be a product that I think a lot of people would buy. Do you know what I mean? Like,
disagree.
It doesn't have a screen, doesn't have controllers. So it comes with...
So you just buy that and a controller.
Yeah.
I think that would be insane.
I think
that's
be cool.
Way less appealing than a handheld.
But what if it was one, like fucking half the price and you never use it? And so it's like, our handheld one is still great, but here's this little one for just a TV.
Yeah, maybe.
I could see that happening.
Yeah.
That's just a guess. That's
but
nothing
it, but
the
it
articles.
Is weird where whatever they do to it design-wise, so much of how they kind of pitch it and sell it is built around the fact that there's controllers on the side of it that detach that then if you don't want to buy a pro controller, you have two controllers out of the box.
Yeah.
You can have it handheld. You can snap them off. You can both play it in tabletop mode, in the back of the car or whatever it is. Mm. Like the minute they alter any of that part of the equation, it is just turning it into a completely different thing.
If that original,
so much of how they sell it is based around that.
If they did basically the original Switch with molded controllers onto it, you could still play Mario Party and stuff if you bought Joy-Cons and plugged it into the TV.
True, but then so why not just make them detachable?
Yeah.
Like, there's no, there's surely there can't be that much
cheaper.
Cost in that.
Maybe that could, I don't know. I have no fucking idea.
I understand removing like the vibration and the gyro and shit like that. Mm. Like that's gonna, so hang on, can you go back? Because that updated thing that you read out, that seems to kind of contradict what is in the initial article, which where he's saying the updated one will be for the avid gamer.
That's
then
true.
If all that's changed about it is just that the screen is a bit better, that doesn't really hold true with
You'd
that earlier quote.
You'd have to be an avid gamer if that mattered to you.
That's
like an avid handheld gamer.
One of the new systems will sport enhanced features as it's designed for avid gamers. However, its specs won't match Xbox. The other system is described as a cheaper option for casual gamers, and Nintendo sees a successor to its aging handheld 3DS device. I guess this is still like we don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm putting you on the spot with this one.
I didn't break into the fucking Nintendo offices.
Yeah, who's this prick from the Wall Street Journal?
Mm.
So I think this is like manufacturing suppliers that this has come out of.
Right.
It seems right. like. You would be wrong to think that the enhanced version is similar to what Sony did with PS4 Pro and the other is just a cheap alternative that looks very similar to some past handheld machines, say Sony's PlayStation Vita. So those two things are exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Mm.
So we're wrong, is what this source says. A source explained to the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, okay. this isn't. So boys, bit of a run up here. So brace yourselves. Mm-hmm. This isn't Iwata Gate. Okay, there's no need to get so worked up over it. It's not Iwata Gate. It's just a little sneak peek of a new Nintendo.
Well, that is a very disrespectful way to honor Iwata's memory, and I love it.
Yeah.
Let me speak directly now to our mole that we have inside Nintendo Australia. Bro, you must know what's going on.
Yes.
Give us the scoop.
Yes.
Give us the fucking scoop.
Yeah, let us know.
Appreciate the water bottle that you gave me at the live show that you came to. Was using it the other day.
Mm.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
But you've started a precedent here.
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
I get things from you. Mm-hmm. You got to start up in the ante.
Yep.
This is, as far as I'm concerned, a take relationship.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. You've set up an expectation that we will just get stuff off you.
Yeah.
But fuck, yeah, I don't know.
Because if it's not those things already, it's something I guess brand new, so it could be anything.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah,
Labo 3. They're skipping Labo 2.
Yeah,
they're going straight to Labo 3.
Yeah, that would
and
be pretty
just
cool.
Just the same, but plastic or metal, and you have to fucking cut it with like a big industrial piece of equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's like it's still sort of for kids, but it's for like the fucking tough kids that are at your school that you're kind of scared of.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whose parents like aren't really around much, so they're just like buying all this like crazy shit off the internet.
They never
and making like marble guns and shit.
They wag VizCom and Studio Arts and psychology, but they always go to metalwork.
Yeah.
And they always leave with something that's going to hurt you later.
Did you guys have a friend at your school who you'd go to their house and they just like I had kids that would like they'd made actual weapons out in their backyard.
Yeah, yeah, a couple of
it's like so just being there and being like, oh, I'm scared.
Yes. Yes.
I'm scared to be friends with this person.
Yes.
I've got a crossbow and I made these jumps for my bike.
Yeah.
That was my
exactly.
summer.
I had a friend who had a giant samurai sword.
I was going to say, speaking of weapons, these weapons have been playing the new video game from From Software called Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice. It only just dawned on me recently as well.
Mm.
Shadows Die Twice is because you can resurrect once.
Oh.
Yeah. You die twice in the game.
Yes. Well, I died more than twice.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that much.
So From Software made Dark Souls. That's what they're most famous for in Bloodborne.
Yep.
What's your experience with them again?
I've played Bloodborne and I couldn't get into it.
Right.
I loved the aesthetic. I loved, everything about it. The atmosphere was great. And it was too hard for me to play.
Sure. What do you think of Sekiro?
I like it more than Bloodborne.
Okay.
Yeah. It's still hard. But it's not as hard. I think that because it is so stealth focused, or for large parts of it, it is, if you're really patient and really good with that, then you can just sort of like stealth kill a whole bunch of guys. And it's not the trial that Bloodborne was to me of just like, all right, I walk down this street and then if I accidentally don't dodge quickly enough, then I'm dead and I'm starting back again.
Yeah.
Over and over and over.
I think that's very true of the general areas. I'm interested to see how you feel about the game once more boss things have happened to you.
Well, so I got to one boss and I'm assuming it's a very minor boss and I couldn't beat it.
So I guess we should give more context to the game.
Yes,
actually,
for sure.
If you've not played, it's very much in the style of those sort of Souls games. If you've not played one of them, it's a action game, combat focused. In this one, you are a shinobi.
Yes.
A sort of feudal Japanese assassin.
Mm-hmm.
And shinobi killing people. Shinobi easy. That's better.
That's better, yeah.
Shinobi an easy game.
No.
But Samurai like it. My name's Sam in that one.
Yeah.
The it's
You start off as like, it's a flashback, right? You're like alone, you're like a little wolf cub.
Yeah.
Some guy decides not to kill you, he takes you in, he trains you up as a shinobi. You become... What happens?
The main thrust of the game is like, well, so you have amnesia, so you kind of don't know a lot of the
Can you remind
backstory.
Me what the game is about?
Honestly, there's so much chance that we're going to like fall asleep as well in the
Absolutely,
next like 20
yeah.
minutes of this
I'm
podcast.
Surprised like I didn't crash my car driving home from work. I'm fucked.
The story is kind of pretty confusing at this point.
Isn't it like you're...
There's this kid who's like yeah. the lord of the area who you're basically trying to get back from the other area of Japan, the other like tribe isn't the right word.
Prefecture or something, yeah.
The other team.
Yeah.
And the main thrust is you're going to go get that guy back.
Yeah, you're going to go into this big scary castle
yeah.
and get this little kid back.
And there's like... flashbacks and stuff and things of like, and so here's the specific family you were, and then this character betrayed this person, then started working for them, and that's all just told through like items you pick up and things like that, people you talk to along the way.
Yeah, occasionally similar as the Souls games, right,
where most of the story is conveyed through the environment, which I think is really cool.
Yes.
The main thing that you're doing though is fighting people.
Yep.
So you've got
the main thing you're doing is dying.
Yes. That happens during a fight.
It usually happens once.
Yeah, but in this game,
yeah.
Shadows actually died twice. So you have the one sword the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You've just got this samurai sword, or at least maybe for a long time. I'm probably 5 or 6 hours into the game at this point.
Yeah,
I've played
right.
a bit of it.
Like three-ish.
You have that, but then you've got this prosthetic arm as well, which has a grappling hook thing on it that you can shoot out. And you can add upgrades to it for different sort of weapons when you find them in the world that use up these little tokens that you get, little sort of angel cross things.
Yeah.
So you can get like an axe that you can swing to break wooden shields of enemies who have them.
It's like a shuriken shooter.
You can get a ninja star shooter. Yeah. Yep. I've got this firecracker thing just recently
Ooh.
That scares animals.
Okay.
And
if
a boss is maybe an animal, then that'll help.
Mm-hmm. I got killed by a rooster.
Yeah. I love the aesthetic of it where it's like this feudal Japanese thing where it assumes that all the funny, not funny, but like all the mythological drawings that they would do. And
so
like
they're exaggerated. Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Of like giant geckos and whatever. It assumes that they're real.
Yeah.
That's
and
cool.
Then it very much just takes place in a realistic, like kind of feudal Japan where the fighting is you versus this other warring faction. So it's not really, I mean, it is sort of overplayed and everything with, you know, giant snakes and whatever.
Sure.
But the main part of it is just kind of these like, well, these are enemy soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I think is a really cool aesthetic to explore.
Yeah, I agree. I think because that is so well done. It's very realistically done. The atmosphere is beautiful. Like there's often like snow falling.
The graphics are just
great.
Reeds
and, you know, like flowers and shit. And like it looks beautiful. And then, when you come across like a guy who like, if it was a real guy, stories would have been told about him as like, oh, he was like a hulking monster of a man and he towered over everyone. It's like, well, he was like a 6'5" guy and he was built. But in this game, he's literally like a giant ogre.
Yeah.
And it's that sort of feeling.
The guy who was like the old guy who would look through the battlefield to try and find things, but he was a little hunched just because he was unhealthy.
Yeah.
He's like almost literally a goblin in this.
Yes. Mm. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
What it's really, really cool.
Mm.
And then, yeah, like the giant snake, because someone saw a big snake once, is the size of a mountain.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're going through, you can slash with your sword. That's pretty innovative.
Oh, is it?
So, but the reason the way that combat works is you're you can attack, but it's not really doing damage to them. The only way you can kill something is by dealing like a death blow to it, and to do that you can bring down its health to get it to the point where its posture is not recovering.
Yeah,
because posture is the other meter that they have,
right?
And posture is the thing that you really need to work on. You build that up. And when their posture is broken, when you've done enough damage to them, then you can leap on them and do this death blow thing.
Yeah. Right.
And for, so standard enemy soldiers, they have no posture, basically. If you're hidden, you can just do a death blow. If you jump down, you can do a death blow. Or you hit them a couple of times.
So, yeah, the stealth lets you just kill them if you're not detected.
But for the bosses, it's a whole different matter.
Yeah, so the bosses are fucking crazy.
Mm.
So you... their health won't recover, or at least in the ones that I've seen. So the more you're taking their health down, the less quickly their posture will sort of regenerate, the less they'll be able to recover from that, or the slower they'll do it.
Yeah.
So you are trying to take that down, but mainly you're trying to constantly attack them, and then if they attack you, to parry their attacks.
Yes.
So you can defend just by holding down L1, and then you won't take heaps of damage from an attack.
But if they do a strong one, then you will anyway.
You will get whacked, and then your posture will get broken.
Yeah.
Or get built up at least. And when that happens, you're not dead. You just like get knocked down and you're pretty vulnerable for a couple of seconds.
Yeah, you can get back up again.
And then you can spin around them, whatever.
Yeah.
And your defense becomes less impactful. Your health kind of works the same
as
a normal game. You've got health and you don't want it to go down.
Yeah.
But so you're trying to break the enemy's posture enough. And so you really need to be going at them.
Yes.
You're constantly swinging. You're dodging their attacks. They've got some attacks that you can't block, which are like either a thrust, a sweeping attack, or a grab.
Yes.
A grab, if that gets you, you're fucked.
They just smash you on the ground. You're dead.
You take so much damage from it. A thrust, you can parry or like get out of the way
of. Just go sideways.
And you get an ability later on to like stomp it and come back at them.
Right.
Which is sick. Like there are these ability trees that you're putting your experience into to get obviously new abilities.
Mm-hmm.
But they can really change up the game, and like some of that you can assign one to be like a special attack, and there are a whole bunch of different types of them, like a whirlwind slash to deal with a bunch of enemies and all that stuff. And then the other one is a sweep and you've got to jump over it.
Yeah.
Because you're a lot more mobile than in any of the Souls games before. You can jump around, you can grapple around. Mm. It's pretty good.
The grappling is really fun.
Yeah.
And I'm only starting to get into like really knuckling down. But it's like, oh yeah, you'd like get a sneak attack in on a boss and he's like fucked for a little bit. He's got like one of his death blows is gone.
Yeah, they have multiple little...
retreat.
Yeah, and if you get out of the area, he'll just bring his health back.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can totally avoid them for enough time to sort of get yourself together.
Because it is quite intense. The combat is very intense.
Massively. Yeah. And when you're actually kind of going toe-to-toe with someone, it wants you to do it perfectly.
Yes.
And it's not really the same as like those Souls games where you had a whole bunch of different weapons, all these different options of styles that might work for you. Do you want to use shields and a sword? Or do you want to use a big spear and not have a shield? Do you want to use magic from a distance? That was kind of their thing. This, you have the one set and it is asking you to do it a certain way.
Yeah.
And you better be able to do it perfectly.
Yes.
Which is like demanding as hell, but also kind of fun because each of the bosses that I've fought at this point, which is maybe like five
right-ish,
they're asking a different set of skills from you.
Mm-hmm.
So like one of them has been, you need to be sprinting the whole time and moving out of the way.
Mm.
One of them has been like, you need to be parrying this perfectly. One of them has been like, you better be good at dodging. One of them's going to thrust a bunch. And so like having this set of skills that it then asks you to perfect each one of them at a different point is really fucking satisfying for one thing. And also like it's super hard, but like the excitement that you get from these battles against bosses, because like you need to be on your shit the whole time. It's intense in a way that most games don't do.
Yes, absolutely. Completely agreed. And it was very frustrating for me to be bouncing off this first boss that I encountered so many times.
Yeah.
But then you go like, oh, okay, I'll just go muck around a bit more. Because every time you like reset and rest, all the other normal enemies come back to life, right? Or they just are there again.
Yeah.
So you can just go around and fight them.
Yeah.
And after you've fought a boss 10 times and lost, you are much better at fighting the normal guys. And
then they
actually get more numerous, and that's harder to sort of take them all on.
Yeah.
But the more you do that, the better you are at fighting, and you go back to the boss and it's a little bit easier.
It's the really cool thing with the Souls game and with Bloodborne as well, that even though you're getting these new skills and stuff along the way, there's no like experience meter, like I've got to get my numbers up high enough. You are the experience meter.
Yes.
Your actual ability with this is what is being trained up over the course of the game.
Yeah.
Which is fucking cool.
Yeah, it's right.
It's done so, like, it's demanding and it's difficult, but it's done in a pretty solid way.
Yeah.
Where every next thing is like, fuck, a roadblock, I'll never be able to beat this. And then you figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really, really cool to be able to do that.
Mm.
the levels are laid out nicely. Like there's enough of the little checkpoints and everything.
Mm.
And there's enough interesting sort of things in the environment in each new bit that you come to that it's always looking a little bit different, or there's a new sort of environmental, like how do I get up there sort of thing to look
yeah.
around. Like it's a mix of sort of exploration and like almost platforming at points.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you die as well. So you die or you get killed once by a boss, you can resurrect and you can only really do it once. You get multiple little buttons, and if you kill more enemies before you die again, you can regain the ability to resurrect.
Oh yeah.
But it's not common to be able to do that in like a boss fight, which are the hardest parts.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can resurrect once, so it sort of does give you a chance to like either come up and try again or come up and run the fuck away.
Yeah.
Because if you die properly and go back to a checkpoint, the world gets worse.
Mm.
You've got this disease, or there's this disease going around called dragon rot.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you die, the more people in the world get that. And every time someone right. else gets dragon rot, the game gets like a little harder for you.
Yeah. Right.
So like you get a little statue that you have to hold on to. And the way it mainly affects you is that there's, when you die, you can get like this unseen aid by chance.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a little meter of like, you have a 30% chance of getting this.
Mm-hmm.
More people get dragon rot, it's like now it's a 10% chance.
Yeah.
Right,
so it kind of makes the game harder for you, because every time you die, you're losing half your shit and you can't get it back. Half your money's gone, half your experience is gone, fuck you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is cool. The game says fuck you so often.
And yeah.
It's good because when you get to say fuck you back to it, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's like a hard platformer.
Yeah.
It is like a very hard platformer that you have to get better at by playing it more and more, and is all the more satisfying when you are good at it.
Yeah. Very timing-based, the combat stuff, like... You've got to learn how long an enemy's sort of wind up takes before you, because you've got to hit the button at the time that the attack connects to deflect it,
right.
Which is what it wants you to do. And it's like that very old school thing of learning the boss's animations so that you can hit it at the right time.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be for everyone at
no.
all. In fact, I would say it's not for most people.
There are people in our group who have already said, this is too hard for me, I'm playing a different game.
Yeah. Because... Like, you can't play it and expect to just sort of switch off and make some progress and feel good every time. Like,
yeah.
You've got to want to have a bit of a fight. But if you've got a lot of anxious energy that you're trying to burn off, holy shit, it's appealing.
Yeah.
I will say I'm probably in that category of people who will struggle with it too much,
yeah.
Which is a shame because everything about the aesthetic and the setting of it sounds right up my alley.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff you're saying about the character design looks great. But who knows? Like, I agree completely with what you're saying about, like, I find Hollow Knight to be like that, where I get up to bits where I'm like, I guess I just am never going to do this.
Yeah,
this will just never happen for me. And then it's like you do it and you feel like $1 million. Like,
Hollow Knight is totally a 2D version of this game.
Yeah, right.
This type of game.
Right.
I like all the aesthetic stuff. The music's great.
Yeah.
The fact that when it starts, there is English dialogue, like you can get English voice acting, but it's like, by the way, we defaulted to Japanese.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah, I heard that. That's cool.
Yep. Which is cool.
That's how I've left it. It's great. It feels like playing through a something like a Yojimbo or like one of the older sort of samurai movies where it's like, okay, this is just pretty dour stuff. Let's get through this.
Yeah.
Life kind of sucks, but sometimes it's beautiful.
It's totally like Game of Thrones-ish style of Japan where it's like, yeah, there are dragons, but they're like dirty fucking gross things.
Yeah.
I really am enjoying everything about it. Like, it's so up my alley for like the sort of exploration type of thing that it's asking of you, which isn't too much, but just like the very fucking satisfying and honed combat in it is just like, it's the most kind of, it's what a video game is in my head of like, learn this thing and get better at it.
From first seeing it announced and everything, it has looked like always along the way, like it's going to be a very like complete package. Like it'll do this type of game really well, and everything about the aesthetic and everything will be feel very deliberate and very, which, yeah, it's great to hear that it's delivered on that.
Like, yeah.
It's also the least, it has the least barriers up of the From Software games. Like I found it very hard to even like, figure out Bloodborne.
Right.
It so holds you at arm's length
right.
with how confusing and obtuse and weird it is. And this is much more typical of what a video game is. And then it gets harder and weirder as it goes on.
Totally. It has like a tutorial intro, basically.
Yeah.
Which those games fucking needed.
Yes.
More than they've ever had.
Totally. I don't feel like I am... The game is purposefully trying to confuse me.
Yeah.
Which is how I felt playing Bloodborne.
And it sort of does later on, but in the way of like, here's a puzzle for you to figure out. This enemy has a certain way of beating it.
Sure.
Figure it out based on what you've already learned.
Rather than the simple act of playing this game is so confusing that you have to read game facts.
Yeah.
It's like you get it, you just have to get better at it.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to like, feeling like I've missed something.
Yeah,
like,
totally. Yes.
Yeah, I just haven't been told everything that I need to get by.
I'm not in the club on this game.
Yeah, yeah.
But I am in this game.
That is super true. Because like that Dragon Rot thing, for example, would have just been in the previous ones.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have like brought up a thing to say, hey, this is what's happening now.
Yeah.
Press A to say, hey, I've understood this.
Yeah.
But
it is very disappointing. Even if you're loving a game, it is disappointing to have that moment of going, I guess I've just got to look up online what the fuck this is.
Mm.
Even if you can work it out and it's not making it unplayable or whatever, the fact that you've kind of had to go outside of the game to work something out about it, I always find a bit like, come on, man, you couldn't have chucked something in here to kind of explain what this is, what this mechanic completely. Is that you put in.
Totally. I when I sit down with a game that I've bought and I'm like, great, I'm going all in on this game. I'm going to find out what this is. I treat it like it's a movie. Like I'm sitting in a theater and you don't sit down in a theater to watch a movie and get 10 minutes in and be like, I think this movie doesn't like me and it wants me to leave the cinema.
And that's
how I felt with the other games that I've tried.
Especially now where games don't even come with manuals anymore.
Totally.
At least back in the day, you could be like, oh, okay, I guess I just got to get that book out and look at it and see what I'm meant to be doing.
Mm.
Yeah, sounds great.
It's fucking rad. Oh, also the other thing, it doesn't have any online stuff anymore, so you can fucking pause it, which is great.
Right.
Yeah,
I'm very happy to just press pause sometimes.
So I love
doing that.
Halfway through a fight, I'm like, I need to pause
because
I need to remember how to do this next thing.
It's got cool things as well. Like there's a guy right at like sort of your home base who will be like, you can fight me whenever and practice and you can tell me what to do. And I'll do it and be in that loop.
That's cool.
Like, it's really, it's a lot friendlier, but at the same time, it's fucking, it is when it will tell you exactly what you need to know, but then it will make you prove that you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Which is definitely the way of doing it rather than going like, figure it out. I don't know.
Totally. Yeah. Because like, I want to enjoy this game. I didn't want to get frustrated with Bloodborne and just go, ugh. I don't have enough time to figure this shit out.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if it's hard when you know exactly how you fucked up.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you know like, I should have blocked that or oops, I should have dodged the other way.
Yeah.
Rather than like, well, he flew.
Yes.
And I don't know how he flew.
Yeah.
And I've never seen flying in this yet.
Yeah.
And now it's turned off the console.
Yeah.
But apparently that's a cool thing that everyone thinks is great about this game.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah.
It's very fucking good. I like it a lot.
It's also got me pumped for Ghosts of Tsushima, which is similar aesthetic, but I don't think is as hard.
No, it probably won't be. I mean, no games tend to be as hard as these ones.
I am really holding out for that one. Like, I think that's going to be a lot more my speed.
Mm. Well, I bet by the time this has come out, we'll have learned a little bit more about it at the Sony PlayStation State of the Union.
Yes.
Well, guys, I guess that's us done for another week. Thank you for listening. Come see the boys in Melbourne during the Comedy Festival. It's a big month. We've all got shows pretty much every night of the month.
You've
got me doing my show, Balding Cherub, 8:20 at the Cooper's Inn. You've got Adam Knox at the Acme.
Yep, every day except Mondays at 9:45 p.m. Then we're doing Chimp Cop every day except Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
Shut up.
At Trades Hall.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, that was my watch. Went off.
Yeah. Chimp Cop, it's a sketch show, just a bunch of funny different sketches. Maybe one of them features a vampire. Who can say?
Hey.
Book online, comedyfestival.com.au.
Yeah. And thank you to all the filth in Canberra who came out and saw me over the weekend. That was very nice. Very nice to meet a bunch of you after the show. Very much appreciated. Head over to YouTube and you can see our Let's Plays that we've been putting up. We're putting up a new one every week.
The third episode of that will be up by now.
Yep.
Yes.
Thank you to all the people who've sent us nice feedback about that. Mm. People seem to be really enjoying them and we're really enjoying making them. Plenty more of them to come.
Nox, I don't know if you said this on the normal pod or the Patreon one last week. Mm. You didn't want to read the comments. Scared of YouTube comments. We had like 60 comments on the first one and they've all been positive.
Great.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, how many of them are racist?
I refuse to comment.
Because I'm not reading them if they aren't.
Yeah, give them a go. Even if Let's Plays
aren't... Don't jokingly start posting racist comments.
Yes,
on
there, please.
Because I said that, by the way.
Yeah.
Even if Let's Plays typically aren't your thing, I still think it's worth having a look at because we've just tried to make it funny.
Yes.
And plenty of people have said they don't particularly enjoy Let's Plays at all and they're enjoying this.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy them either and I'm enjoying doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I think they're good. Like with the recording of them, it's a new thing. There's tiny little bits of like audio issues and shit that we're very aware of and know how to fix for the future ones we're recording. So like kind of sorry about that, but also they are fine.
Yeah. They're fine. Yeah. They're not unwatchable or anything. Yeah. Just a couple of people have picked up on
them. Remember the first episodes of this podcast?
We literally recorded one on our phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and that was fine.
And that was good. I want to do that from now on.
A friend of mine who listens messaged me after that one and said, please never do that again. He said, you all sound depressed because you're just by yourselves talking into a recorder.
I think that was during the comedy festival of that year as well.
It may have been. Or it was just before.
Yeah.
I think you were living, Ben, you were living back in the, back at home.
I was.
Out of the city.
But yeah, they're good. And we're recording more in they'll be coming out every week.
Yes. There'll be a steady stream. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, check them out. And yeah, maybe pass them along to people that you think might listen to this but find the going in on a podcast a bit daunting. Mm. It's kind of an easy way of getting people into the sort of thing that we do.
Totally.
The Patreon, thank you to everyone who supports us on that.
Yes.
If you would like to, you get, for $10 a month, you can get an extra episode every week where we do sort of, we just similar kind of thing, but we don't talk about games. We just have fun. We fuck around.
Yeah.
Some great episodes sitting there already.
Oh, yes.
What else? I think that's kind of it.
Yep.
Filthycasuals.com.au.
We'll ones up soon, too.
Oh, yes.
I know there's been a bit of a gap in them.
Yep. We're sorry. They just seem to take more effort than anything else.
Yeah, they're the only part of it that isn't like that we don't have a schedule for as well. So it's the first thing that has to go like, well, we need to put that on the back burner.
Yeah. But we'll do one of them, in the next little
there'll
while.
Be after Comedy Festival.
I would say there'll be one up in about a month.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Probably, actually, because there was a... We have to do the second part of the Flash one and there's a second idea that we have.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people have asked for just movie commentaries. And they're quite easy to do.
I reckon that'll be the second one that's up.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au if you want links to all of that stuff. Thanks for joining us. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Good morning, video games. I've time traveled here from the start of the podcast to say that.
Now do we do the whole thing again?
Yep. Oh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.